News Radio 930 WFMT.
It's the Morning News Express on WFMD. In the studios this morning, lovely ladies in the studios. Got Pam Knight and Chastity. Is it Chastity or Chastity?
Chastity.
Chastity Mox. And they are with, is it Sound Path Recovery or?
No.
Tell us who you're with.
So,
You're kind of like on your own, aren't you?
Yeah.
Just a couple of.
Yeah, so I started a foundation called RJ's Lasting Strength Foundation.
Okay.
We recently changed our name to...
You're kind of like on your own, aren't
yeah.
you? Just a couple of...
Yeah, so I started a foundation called RJ's Lasting Strength Foundation.
Okay.
We recently changed our name to the Music is Medicine Foundation.
Okay.
But I started it because I lost my brother to a heroin overdose in October 2016.
Now, is that something, I mean, you know, when you walk through something like that, I mean, what's that like? Is that something that you knew he was doing? Was there signs of something that, you know, because heroin has become such a huge problem in our, not only in our country, but in our state, in our county, in our towns?
In the beginning, we didn't know. He actually was a musician and 4.0 student, athlete. Like, all-around great guy. And he went into depression, and he started hanging out with different type of people. And he started probably in his, around 24, something like that, his age. And we didn't find out until he was at the bottom, rock bottom, where he lost everything. He actually overdosed in my house, and I found him.
Oh.
And then he... moved in with me after that, got back on his feet, and he was clean for 5 years. And then he was in a car accident on 70, almost died. And because of his past, they wouldn't help him with pain management. And then he just spiraled out of control back into addiction.
Now, I do know that some people have said, and I've seen some shows on TV and stuff, that a lot of heroin addicts start with pain medicine, and that the pain medicine, the healthcare system runs the course or whatever, and so they're not able to get their pain medicine, and so they turn to heroin to deal with the pain, which mm-hmm. then of course spirals down to something even worse.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. He drove himself back down to Johns Hopkins asking for help, and they turned him away, and there was a guy on the street offering him help, and it ended up to be actually a undercover police officer. So that was the first time he ever got arrested. And after that, he just felt hopeless, and he was a criminal, and he had no reason to continue. That's exactly what he told me. And he turned right back into, you know, full-blown heroin addict.
Ben, we'll get into your story a little bit, too, on the Morning News Express at Free Talk 930 WFMD. And there's actually an event coming up tomorrow. We'll talk about that as well. It's all coming up on the Morning News Express.
Motivated, educated, but never manipulated. The Flatline, Sundays on 930 WFMD.
823 at WFMD on this Friday, August 10th, 2018. In the studio, this Chastity Fox, Pam Knight. Is it Pam or do you go by Pamela?
Pam.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I have a Pam, and my sister's name's Pam. And you guys have an event going on in Baker Park, and we'll talk about that. But I want to get into, Pam, you have also had your own demons, correct?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that. Move a little bit closer to the microphone.
I became addicted to pain pills. I fell off of bleachers, and I really injured my back, and I really wasn't even introduced to opiates until I was in my 30s. I was given Vicodin. And what I can tell you is, the first time I took one, it felt amazing. I felt like Superwoman. I had energy. I was happy. Very warm feeling. And that led me down an awful downward spiral. I started, instead of going out socially and having a drink, I would take a pill. But you see, our brain's got a tolerance level. So one wasn't enough. Then it would be two. And it continued. And there was a moment when I knew I had to stop, and I tried. And within 12 hours, I was so sick and my anxiety was so high. I went 48 hours. And that's that awful moment when you think this is the rest of my life. I'm going to have to do this, but I don't want anybody to know. But I don't know how to stop because you're so sick mentally, physically. So you go back harder. And it got really ugly. I was stealing money out of our business. I was taking just to feel normal, if that even can make sense to people. There was no high or no feeling anymore. I had to have it. Otherwise, I went into withdrawal.
Right. Well, but you look at TV shows that make it seem like it's normal. I go to House. Remember the TV show House, where he was popping Vicodin all the time because of his leg, and it just exactly. You know, and yeah, well, he was able to function. You got to a point where you really probably couldn't function without them, and then realize that you weren't functioning with them.
I was very high functioning. You know, on the outside I looked normal. On the inside, there was just nothing but turmoil. But once again, I truly believe that because there's such a stigma around drug addiction, that's what keeps people out. I didn't want my family to ever know. I felt so shameful and I felt guilty. But at the same time, I knew that I had this monster on my back and I didn't know how to get it off. So after Christmas, almost 5 years ago, I decided I was done. And I took everything I had on a Friday night and tried to tell my family I had the flu. Fast forward to the fifth day, if someone told me I was going to die, I would have believed them. I had never been so sick in my life. I hadn't showered. You are throwing up. You have diarrhea. You have what's called restless leg syndrome. And you have this anxiety that everyone has anxiety, right? This was different. Like if I could have jumped out of my body, that's what I wanted to do. But I still had this little in my brain. My brain was saying, get up and go find something. Mm-hmm. But my daughter came over, and for 2 hours, she would not leave me alone. And
so obviously your family knew.
They were getting suspicious because there were times when I would nod out or someone, you're like, you're just here, and then you kind of, and you catch yourself, right?
I do that every morning, but
this was different.
The news at the top of the hour.
And I was like, I would have moments where I was like sweating profusely, and I thought maybe they were starting to catch on. So that was part of it. But admitting is the hardest part.
Then did you do that in front of everybody? Or did you decided to stop?
I didn't tell anybody.
You didn't tell.
Right. But on the fifth day, like I said, when I was still trying to tell them I had the flu, my daughter wouldn't leave me alone. And I said it. And I just felt like really time stood still. My family got right into action. They came over and said, you're going to treatment. You're going to inpatient treatment. We got you a flight. All I knew was they told me that they were going to medically detox me. And I was so sick. I was like, okay, I took a shower. My sister braided my hair, soaking wet, no makeup, and I'm a makeup girl. Went out into my great room, and there was my family, all of them, my brothers, sisters, my parents. And, you know, I never once thought about what I was doing to them. I saw that they were scared. But you know what? The craziest thing was I felt this weight lifted off my heart. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I didn't know what it meant to go to treatment, but all I knew was I was done. I was a broken woman. And the thing that people have to realize is that, you know, addiction is a family disease. Mm-hmm. There's one person in that family that's an active addiction and they're using, but everyone else is suffering too. But in the moment, when I was actually in my active addiction, I didn't think about anything, but I didn't want to run out of my pills.
Right. Now, how hard was it to get them? I mean, or did you have I hate to say, did you have a doctor who said, okay, we'll keep giving it to you?
Well, it was, no, I couldn't keep up my habit. Mm-hmm. So I was doctor shopping and I was very creative, or I did have an insurance card and I did have prescription insurance, but I would go to places and say I didn't have it. So I'd pay cash for it. And then it got to the point where I was buying them and I was going to places I had no business going to and meeting people that I could have really, you know, I could have really gotten into a lot of trouble, but I had to do that just to keep up my habit.
Yeah. We'll get more into this and we'll talk more. And then after the news, we'll talk about the wonderful event that's going to be happening tomorrow.
Yes.
We'll do that coming up on the Morning News Express, Free Talk 930 WFMD.
930 WFMD traffic for Mid-Maryland.
1-663-0300 Frederick Air.
WFMD's Bob Miller.
He may just be the reason your houseplants keep dying.
836 at WFMD. It is the Morning News Express. Rise and shine up and at 'em. In the studio is Chastity Fox, Pam Knight. And they are hosting the Hope for Change Fest, which is going to take place tomorrow at Baker Park. Tell me a little bit about, I mean, obviously the genesis of it is both of your addiction issues and things that you have gone through with your family, Chastity. And this is kind of in honor of your brother, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about this.
So I literally dreamt the festival after he passed away. So what two things bring people together? Sports and music. No matter your social status, your skin color, your, you know, gender, anything, music brings people together. So I thought that if I had a music festival, I could bring people of all walks of life and throw in some education and some awareness of what's going around in our county and just try to help as many people as we could.
So tell me the lineup that you have, because it's a very interesting, eclectic, I'll say eclectic's a good word, for the music.
And so I wanted it diverse. So we have, this year it's pretty big. We have a lot of famous people coming out. So we have Ronnie Youngkins of Kix. He has his own band. It's called the Blues Vultures. And then we have the Knight Brothers, the Jam Alker Band, who he actually is a recovering addict himself, and he's from Chicago. And then we have the Wilkoff Project, who he actually is in recovery as well, and he's from Florida. And then we have a local from Westminster. They're called Cloud Gang, but B-Rain is the runner of it, and Rem One, they're rappers. So they're from Westminster. And then we have Gambo, who's another rapper that's in recovery, and he's from Florida. And then Logan Bruce is out of Ohio. He's more of acoustic style. He's also in recovery. So we pulled a lot of people from recovery this year and local bands as well. We have Heavy Fred, who's a local band here in Maryland. And then the Frederick School of Rock's going to perform. And then we have Brandon Novak, who was a professional skateboarder, and he was on Jackass MTV. He's going to speak. And Tim Ryan from A&E, from Hope to Dope, he's going to be speaking.
Wow.
So we have a great lineup this year.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Is this the first year?
No, this is our second year.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Your second year. Mm-hmm. Bam, are you, we got to take a break for traffic, but, you know, Chastity was mentioning that they're in recovery. Are you in recovery? Is that how you say it?
Yes,
you're constantly
in recovery
constantly. Okay. It's the Morning News Express. We'll talk more about this and we'll get some other thoughts when we come back at the Morning News Express, the Free Talk 930 WFMD. First, we need to get a look at your 930.
Miller!
I am going to have more fans than Elvis!
844 at WFMD. It's the Morning News Express, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD.
More fans than Elvis!
844 at WFMD. It's the Morning News Express, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. Chastity Fox and Pam Knight are in the studio. We're talking about the Hope for Change Fest. And we really didn't say, I mean, we talked about the bands, but we didn't say where it's going to be held. It's at Baker Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the band shell from noon until 9:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's way past my bedtime. Rain or shine?
Rain or shine.
You got to, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are the things that are going to be going on during that? Because obviously you were talking about a lot of these people are in recovery, so they'll have, I'm sure, their own stories to share with and talk to people about. I mean, what about educational stuff that you might be able to slip in there?
So we will have the band shell where all the music and everything will be taking place and three of the speakers. And then on the side, the bell tower field, we will have every resource that you can think of there with a tent. We have the health department coming out. We have, David Brooks.
I like to call him Big Sexy.
Yes.
Big Sexy.
He's going to have a booth, Sound Path Recovery, all the local resources. and National Resources will be there. And then we'll just have some food and some kids' activities and some, you know, retailers, just normal things, too, just right. to make it like a festival. We're going to have a photo booth similar to the one that you guys have at the 4th of July. So it's just going to be a fun day.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And, you know, one of the things that you brought up, I don't know if it was you, Chastity, or Pam, is that the family members come because people who are dealing with this, that there's a shame stigma to this and that people are shameful that they're and you went through it. Now, obviously, Chastity, you did not. You had a different situation with your brother, but Pam, you had that. You had you know, that feeling of shame that you've let everybody down, you let yourself down. But
absolutely. It all comes down to, once again, you know, dealing with the stigma, because I felt like I am a lower class citizen at this point. And how's anybody going to understand this? But the good news is we do recover. Recovery is possible. If you're a parent and you're in the midst of it, I know the turmoil, I know the trauma, but you can't fix them. You are powerless mm-hmm. over your loved one's disease, and they need help. And if you come out, you get educated, I promise you, just like with anything, opening up and sharing your story to someone else who's already walked the walk, it's a beautiful moment. And holding it all in, it's just continuing to make you sick. So when you finally do get a loved one to go to treatment, now the family has to heal too. They need help. They need therapy. They need to understand, because when someone comes back from treatment, and let me say this too, you can do 45 days of inpatient treatment, but the real work does not start until you leave the right. facility. Now you're in the real world. Aftercare is just as important. You have to be surrounded by people that have more sober time than you, and learn to take direction from them, because our way was not working.
Right. And sometimes, and there's different types of love everybody talks about. There's the times to, you know, to embrace, and there's times to, you know, push and shove and whatever, and be, you know, a little tough love to go right. on as well.
As a parent, of course you think you could fix them. They're a child.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, when your child is in active mode, they manipulate. And there's always one parent that's the enabler, giving them the money, or they're, you know, they're always making up excuses or why they're late, this, that, and the other. And even sometimes the family has an idea that something's going on, but guess what? Now they're protecting it and they're lying. You go to a family function, oh, you know, where's Connor? Oh, he's not feeling good today. He's just at home. When you really know what you're dealing with, this problem will not go away. It gets worse. And statistically speaking, you know, most young people, they overdose and die in their homes.
Yeah. Another thing that somebody sent me, and I don't know if I'm going to touch a sore subject or not, is that people like yourselves are not allowed to speak in the public schools. That they're not allowed to have a full-blown type of assembly, right?
Exactly.
Is that something that we're working on trying to get changed, or is it just you guys aren't allowed to go in? Is there anybody allowed to go in and talk about this? I thought the sheriff has gone in to talk about this at points, but obviously, you know, sometimes kids don't listen to people of authority like
that.
Well,
think about it. Yeah, he's got that uniform on.
Right.
You know, so though he does a very good job in educating on what everything is and what the climate is in our county. But someone to go in and to share their journey and to educate while they're doing that, there's power in that. And they will ask questions. And that's what we need to do. We need to open up the lines of communication. If I had cancer, where would I go? I'd go to my support system, right? My family and my friends. And in turn, they would, you know, support me. Mm-hmm. Flowers, dinners, whatever. Take it one step further. Hopefully there's a cure for me. Try telling someone that you're an addict, that you know, you've lost everything, or you need more money, and your car is going to get repossessed. You don't feel, there's nothing warm and fuzzy. But people have to understand that drug addiction is a disease, and it should be treated just like we treat any other disease. So if we could talk about cancer, diabetes, MS, we should also be able to talk about drug addiction.
Yeah. And one of the, and we got to end, one of the first places that for most households to start is in your medicine cabinet.
Yes.
So if you've got them sitting in your medicine cabinet, it's, you know, hey, you're having a party, you know, the kids have a party while you're gone. Guess what? They're going to your medicine cabinet and seeing what you got. So get rid of those. Take them to the pharmacy. Take them to the police departments. They will take them, no questions asked.
And while you're using that, if you you know, you have to have them, honestly, get a safe. Put them in a safe.
Yep. Well, again, if somebody wants to know more, is there a website for people can go look at for the festival tomorrow? Is there a number that they can call if they want to help, you know?
So we have a Facebook page. It's the Music is Medicine. Our website is rjslastingstrength.org. On the Facebook page, you'll find everything you need for the event. We update that regularly, and there's also a phone number on the Facebook page as well.
Well, I wish you continued continued success on something that, you know, something good comes from your pain and suffering of your family's loss, and that you can turn around and make sure that other families don't feel the same thing that you had to go through.
Yes.
I don't think anybody should have to walk in on their brother ODing on their floor. So,
yeah.
And Pam, thank you for your walk and struggles. I mean, your last name is pretty popular around this area, so a lot of people know who your family is. So it's good that you shared your story as well.
Thank you. It, for me, it was all about, you know, taking my pain and turning it to purpose.
Yep, very good. Thank you, guys.
8:52
at WFMD. It's the Morning News Express. 5 days, we're a little late, but I know you are ready because. 8:57 at WFMD. It's the Morning News Express. Really interesting conversation with those two ladies. But what interested me more is that, and I don't know what other kind of programs that they have, but if Frederick County Public Schools don't get people like them in to talk to the young people, there's a huge problem with that. If Frederick County Public Schools is doing nothing but burying their head on this issue, which it sounds like they are, or we don't have a problem in our schools, there's a big issue with that. They are doing a disservice to your children. That is for sure. Now, if they're bringing in people who are able to talk on this topic and not to them, but not at them, but to them, that's what they need in Frederick County Public Schools. But from what I'm hearing, that's not happening. And that is a big, big shame. And I think maybe you need to make those calls to your Board of Education, your Frederick County Public School System, to make sure that these kind of conversations are actually happening in Frederick County Public Schools. Now let's get a look at your 9:30 WFMD traffic for Mid-Maryland commuters. Bob Dacey will take us.